Yo, yo, yo. Welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. You already know who it is. It's your favorite friendly neighborhood youth pastor, Luke Sayre. And I'm sitting across the table with our kind and amazing associate minister, Joshua M. Hey-o. Moore. So we are Adamless once again today. He is in Georgia, but he's only been in Georgia for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
So a little bit of a
red eye flight.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be here after a red eye either.
Yeah, so. Right. So we'll roll just the two of us today and look forward to getting the whole gang back together in future weeks. But let's just jump into a normal rhythm. Josh, what's been fun? What's going on in your world this week?
Well, we've been talking about soccer. So first game is on Saturday.
Yeah.
4:30 PM. So that'll be fun.
A pretty late start for a soccer game.
I know. I was surprised because we're the U10, and normally they do the younger before the older, but
sure.
We're the last block of that day.
Interesting. So, okay, cool.
So yeah, who knows? But it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Family has been good. We got a fun little field trip out tonight to a park to meet some people.
Fun.
And that'll be real good. Yeah.
Great. Very, very cool. Yeah, we... tonight, Tristan and I are going up to, I forget what the park is called. It's a state park in Douglasville. And we're going to camp out tonight.
Nice.
So that'll be fun. Looking forward to that.
Cooking how do all. You how do you pronounce it? Is it s'more or is it s'more?
It's s'more.
Yeah. So I got made fun of whenever I was a youth minister, and it was Chandler Key and all his friends. Because apparently I said some more.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize I was saying some more. And they're like, it's not a some more.
It's but it is.
I mean,
it's the whole Sandlot. It's the Sandlot scene.
Some more. Yeah.
Do you want some more?
Yeah.
Do you want
How can more? You have more? Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
If you haven't had any.
If you haven't had any. Yeah. Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. I love it. So there you go. Cool. Yeah. We're looking forward to the camping trip. I think we'll cook dinner over the fire tonight. And then breakfast over the fire, and then we'll go for a little hike. And
it's
then,
a good. I mean, it's a little chilly, so it's going to be good camp out weather.
We'll bundle up and be just fine.
I think it's going to be dry though, so you lucked out on there.
Yeah, right.
You know? No wet campsites. Wouldn't be fun.
No wet campsites, and so so we'll do that, and then go disc golfing on Friday before we come back home, and then I get to go disc golfing again on Saturday. The league that I play in is starting back up again. So a little bit of an off season during the winter.
Nice.
And so this Saturday will be week number one of the league. So
awesome.
Looking forward to that. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Hey, something else that just popped into my head.
Yeah.
I don't think I talked about this. Last Friday, me and some guys got to go out to a literal forge and form a piece of metal into a hook.
Yeah.
So shout out to Cameron Boyd, who let us use his place and taught us. And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun, man. You feel so powerful when you have this like iron rod that's fit to the piece of hot metal and you literally twist metal around.
Yeah.
Like that. It was just awesome.
It's so, just men doing manly things.
And of course you'll see some of that. And Sunday we're going to show a kind of a promo video for this men's event.
Yeah.
Forged on 28th and 29th of March. So I got a handful of guys signed up already. Hope to get some more. Just some more. There it is. I didn't even mean to. Yeah. But anyway, come on out. It'll be good.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
You're going to be doing some fun stage stuff,
Jamie,
right? You're
Jamie Gowans asked
the fun
me
guy.
To be the fun guy. And I'm like, I that's every day of my life, Jamie. How could I not be? So I'm gonna be
you do some fun stage games, and you said, I have some right now in my back pocket.
I always have games. But I think I'm gonna try to pull out some special stuff for the men's conference. So, and of course, nobody is actually there for the stage games, but
well, you never know.
Darn it, I am.
I mean,
so
I'm there for it.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's have some fun. So yeah, that's gonna be a good time. I'm excited about that.
Yeah me too. Just to get the men of Corinth together.
Yeah.
No matter what exactly happens, it's always good to just rub shoulders for a few hours with other guys and to see what's going on, how they can be stronger together than just alone. Because I think it's just too easy to isolate. So,
yeah there's a really cool, even on the youth ministry side of things, there's something really cool that happened last month. And I think is it going to happen again this Saturday? So there's kind of that men's prayer breakfast Saturday morning rhythm.
Yeah, yeah.
And last month, a ton of 9th and 10th grade boys showed up. Because their small group leaders invited them out and like, hey, come on out. And so this Saturday, once again, they're just like, hey, come on out. And there's even a service project lined up for the high school boys to go and stain the benches over at New Beginnings after breakfast. And it's just really cool to know that's what I'm getting at. It's really cool to know that when you say getting the men of Corinth together, that looks sometimes like a 9th grade boy and Don Hardison. You know, it's really, really cool to see that take place. Yeah. So that's fun.
Well, even on the men's event, I think the age we put on it was 12 or 13. So when we say men, we mean,
we mean men, young men.
Yeah, young men. Because
absolutely,
they're not young too far
men.
Away.
da, 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 da. Come to Forge.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. No more singing on the podcast. This has been it's been a good week, and we're excited to jump in. I want to skip in the news today, but I still want to do the
you
sound.
Still want to do the sound effect
because it's fun. All right,
it is fun.
But I want to skip it because I want to spend a little bit more time talking through Adam's intro to his sermon because I thought it was really fun, where he is talking about some of the things that used to be and are no longer, and so he talks about Toys R Us. He talks about Blockbuster, Nokia, Kodak, MySpace. Let's talk through those. What do you remember about Toys R Us?
Oh, I mean, I remember all of these. So, Toys R Us. I remember walking through the store, you know, in Joplin. I remember there was a few Toys R Us stores around when Naya was a baby.
Okay,
because we bought her a baby at Toys R Us in Athens.
Nice,
and now. They converted the building that used to be Toys R Us, and they left the R Us there, but it's called Booze R Us.
No way!
So it's now
That
was a Toys R Us.
It's now Booze R Us. So all of the kids that shopped at Toys R Us are now old enough to shop at Booze R Us. There we go. All right.
But yeah, so I remember that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I remember the commercials, you know. I don't want to grow up.
I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Yep.
Jeffrey, the giraffe, right?
Jeffrey, spelled with a G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of Toys R Us stories, not because I worked there, but my oldest brother, Brett, that was his first.
He worked there.
That was his first job in high school when he turned 16. There was a Toys R Us in a shopping center called the Forum, about 15 minutes from our house.
Okay.
And so he worked there. And so we would go. And just visit and hang around Toys R Us. And I always remember just at that point when he was 16, I was like 10, 11.
Okay.
So still like at an age where toys are awesome and fun and all that sort of stuff. So, we would just wander around the aisles and look at all the cool stuff and, go to the video game section and play all the different video games and whatnot. But he would tell stories about how when he worked the closing shift, often what he and his coworkers would do with permission of manager, operator, whatever, they would play like a scooter tag. So they would get all of the scooters from the bike area.
That's fun.
And they would just scoot like all around the store, basically just playing tag on scooters, which is super fun. But it's also, I don't know if I believe him or not, but he tells a story, about Chuck Norris
coming in wow
to shop at Toys R Us, and he got to help Chuck Norris find something. So
did Chuck Norris roundhouse kick all the toys off the shelf?
Yeah, that's right.
That's basically
Chuck
Norris, Texas Ranger.
Texas
another
Ranger,
show that isn't
right.
around but I
but he's
watched.
Chuck Norris is known to be around the San Antonio area, it makes sense. It adds up. So there you go, Chuck Norris at Toys R Us long ago.
I love
is
that
no more. So, you know, Jesus would roundhouse kick Chuck Norris to the face, but he doesn't. WWJD. Just be better. There we go. Yeah, Toys R Us was a blast. What about some of these other ones that that Adam mentioned? Do you remember Blockbuster?
Oh yeah, we would go. You know, stay for 30 minutes in the store just to find the one movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I do find it interesting. I think there's more of a, like, you're invested in the process. You're like, I'm gonna watch this movie. We paid for it.
Yeah,
you know, we took this time. Now we're so. Like, we might just quit something because it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've lost something, you know, whenever we can't pick it out. I do remember also my sister would walk through the aisles, and if there was an inappropriate image on the front, she would turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And this could just be, I mean, these aren't like, this is like PG-13 movie or something.
Right.
And so the 9-year-old girl, if it was inappropriate to her, she's like, turn it around. She made sure to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a Blockbuster card.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the stuff.
So the one that was close to our house was not a Blockbuster. It was a Hollywood Video.
Oh yeah. Similar.
So similar. And we kind of had this rhythm in our family. So my parents would, I think it was once a month. Sometimes it was twice a month, but on Friday nights, they would go and hang out with a group of people from our church, and it was euchre night. And so
I love euchre.
Euchre is a fun yes. game, man. It's a card game. It's awesome. And so they would go play euchre on Friday nights, mm-hmm. And that would leave all of us at home. So what my mom would do every Friday that they were going out to play euchre, we would go to the store and get a bunch of frozen pizzas.
Yes.
And then we would go to Hollywood Video and pick out three movies. And one movie was always a Scooby-Doo. It was like there was not a single time that we didn't get a Scooby-Doo. So we all love Scooby-Doo. So we would get a Scooby-Doo. That's the movie we'd start with. And then we would move on to a movie that at that time in our life that Scott and I could watch. So like a G or a PG rated movie. Mm-hmm. And then Brett and Clark got to pick and another movie that they could watch on their own after they put Scott and I to bed because we were young and not allowed to watch the cool movies. But anyways, that's the way it went. Yeah. So the Hollywood Video, Blockbuster, special places in my heart.
Did you know if you go to Bend, Oregon, there is one Blockbuster left?
One left.
Bend, Oregon.
They tried to do a TV series called Blockbuster, and it's about. It's kind of like that whole premise, like they're mm-hmm. a Blockbuster thing and they are trying really, really hard to stay in business, but they're competing and all that sort of stuff. It was okay. I saw one season. It was fine.
It's become a tourist attraction. So you can actually buy, souvenirs and all that kind of stuff. You can, the store retains the vibe and looks just like it might have in the early 2000s.
Sweet.
Yeah. You can buy snacks, like movie snacks. Because they get them from Costco or whatever. Yeah. And I love this. The store still prints and laminates new membership cards.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Bend, Oregon. We got to go.
Bend, Oregon. Let's do it. What about Nokia? Did you ever have a Nokia?
Absolutely.
You did. Okay. Yeah. I never did. Because right around, like whenever I was old enough to get a cell phone
Or old at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So I remember my dad had the first cell phone of our family. He's the only one that had it for a while.
Uh-huh.
He would travel and stuff, so we kind of got that technology. It was a Sprint phone. It had the antenna you could pull out.
Do you hear me yet? Or can you hear me?
And the new technology was like voice. So it uh-huh. recognized his voice.
Oh,
it was supposed to be his voice only. But since I had gone through puberty and I was a teenager, I could make my voice go a little lower, you know,
uh-huh.
and so I would say, call Barbara, like that,
yeah.
and then it would call her, and I thought I was so cool, it was so awesome, but then when I started driving, 16, my parents got me a phone,
yeah.
and it was a Nokia, you know, you could play Snake,
yeah,
and text,
right,
and that's all, and it was great, I loved it, and I do remember thinking of and saving money and all this stuff to change out the plate on the front, the color.
Uh-huh.
You know, you could make it white, red or yellow, and that's the customization you could do. So it's just funny to think about that.
Right.
Definitely.
Were you so when you texted on your Nokia, were you an ABC method or a T9 method kind of guy?
Well, it was what's T9?
There were so my experience with flip phones. There are
oh, it's not a flip phone.
Nokia is not a flip phone.
No, it's just the brick. It's just the, it was the ABC, yeah. So well, if you want to type the letter C, you hit the number one three times.
Right, that's the ABC method. But the T9 yeah. method was to use the keypad, and it was oh, it was a
yeah,
different
sure.
yeah it was a different yeah. way. If you're listening and you texted T9, please come back me up so that I know I'm not crazy.
No, I know it's a thing. Yeah. I just yeah.
Because when I did have a dumb phone for a minute. That was my first phone, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a Nokia, but I started texting ABC method. But then evolved into T9.
I think that's probably what it was. In the early days, you really did have to touch the number all the times. But then it became predictive.
Yeah,
yeah.
And now all I do is say, "Hey Siri, text Josh Moore. Can I borrow your keys to the CLC van today?" Because this is what it goes. Okay, we're running through these Kodak.
So that's the one I'm least familiar with because. Okay. You know, we had cameras. Kodak probably was a disposable that we might have had.
Right.
I never was a big photography. We had maybe a Canon. I think the brand, but they're doing around still doing
around.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, so what I remember about picture taking is my mom sending me to church camp as a kid with a disposable camera.
Did you throw it away because it was disposable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know the click and the wind, and then you get the pictures developed, and you realize. Wow, my thumb is in the way of all of these pictures, and you know. But at least I got to take pictures.
No, but you developed the photos before you threw it away.
Well, yes, yeah, right.
So Sasha's cousin just threw them away at one point. Well, yeah, funny story.
Why
it happened? Yeah. This is disposable.
Yeah, it's disposable.
I think that was the Friends episode as well. They took
pictures. Yeah, the wedding. And, yeah, it is. All right, last one is MySpace that Adam mentioned.
Oh my god,
do you have an account?
I am embarrassed to admit that I did have an account.
Okay,
yeah.
I never did. Again, that was kind of like by the time I was old enough to get on social media, MySpace was out, Facebook was in. So Facebook was the kind of the first account that I had.
Yeah.
Yep. Very
for
cool.
For sure.
What about are there any honorable mentions that didn't get brought up? Things that you can think of that are kind of in the same ballpark, stuff that used to be around that's no longer around.
Maybe like a Pizza Hut buffet. Oh, those are so good with the huge piles of pudding.
Take me back,
I mean, man. That was off the arcade in the Pizza Hut.
Yes,
you know? Like oh,
absolutely,
that was so good.
Arcade in the Pizza Hut, or Taco Bell used to have Border Town with some arcades.
Yeah,
Skating
rinks are kind of still around, but we used to have it was a big thing, man. Elementary school, we'd have a skating party once a month.
Yeah,
and it was so fun, and yeah. So it's just fun to think through those things that didn't last.
Yeah, for sure. And here's kind of the whole point. The reason Adam talked about these things is not just to talk about these things, but to point out that all of these companies really just kind of like lost sight of who they were.
Yeah.
And because of that, didn't end up going well. Oh, he also mentioned Sears. I forgot about that. My dad worked at Sears.
Even in Atlanta, I don't know if you know this, but there's the big Sears and Roebuck building. If you drive in 78, there's I think it's now the Ponce City Market.
Yeah.
But it used to be
Sears
and Roebuck,
I mean, think about the tallest building in America for years and years and years was known as
Sears
Tower. Tower, right? So like Sears was that big of a deal. And it really no longer is. And so the whole point is we're starting this brand new series called Blueprints, God's Design for a Thriving Church, and it's just this. We do not want to forget who we are. And we do not want to forget what God has called us to be and to do. And so we'll jump in. New series, Blueprints, God's Plan for a Thriving Church. Give us a quick commercial for this and explain what's our heart for people as we kind of hang out here in this series for the next few weeks. And Siri thought I was talking to him.
Oh, that's so funny.
God's Blueprint for a Growing Church. An overview of God's Blueprint for a Growing Church. Sound doctrine is a much. The question about salvation is answered from the Bible.
Is this an AI overview from Siri or something?
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, the idea, I mean, I think you already hit it, really, is just vision drifts. We all drift if we don't remind ourselves what to keep coming back to. And so this is just one of those series that we come back to, you know, maybe every year or every 18 months or 24 months, just let's remember. And you see that through the scriptures. There's all sorts of calls to remember. And the famous quote, forget who said it first, but man needs to be reminded more than he needs to be instructed.
Yeah.
And most of what we do on a Sunday morning, we of course learn new things.
Yeah.
Most of what we do is just reminding ourselves of the deep truths that we need to keep in the forefront of our mind. So
right.
That's this idea is we don't want our vision to drift. We have to keep we'll get to the Great Commission here
yeah.
in the early church, Acts 2:42.
Right.
That's the core. We don't want to be any other kind of church than a Great Commission church and Acts 2 kind of church.
Yeah. So absolutely. So let's jump into it. Those are the two main passages from yesterday, Matthew 28:18-20, the Great Commission. I'll read that one. You can read the other one when we get to it. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yeah.
So this is Jesus' command. This is what the church exists to do. And so Adam talked about just this text in general has got one verb. It's not go. It's actually make disciples, and the three participles to those to that verb is go, baptize, and teach. So talk to us a little bit about Matthew 28 and what jumps out to you in this moment
I
right
remember,
now.
So I do remember reading somewhere that a Bible college professor put this verse on the board.
Uh-huh.
Only he left one word out, and the word was obey.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so then it would read something like this, teach them everything I've commanded you, instead of teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. So then he asked these Bible college people, you know, preparing for ministry.
Right.
Like, do you notice anything? I forget how it was set up, but it was essentially, do you notice, is this correct? And not a single person noticed that the word obey was left out.
Right.
And so I think just a practical reminder for us is we, of course, need to learn things. We need to learn theology and doctrine. Right. We need to learn the scriptures. But if we don't also obey it, that's really where the magic happens, I guess. So,
well, and the word that you're getting at, like obedience to the commands of Jesus, is this word that we call discipleship. And discipleship is just as present in the Great Commission as evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard, one preacher talk recently about, his church is doing a similar type of series right now, just talking about vision. And he's like, with evangelism and discipleship, mistakes that a lot of churches make are to focus on one more than the other.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, hold on a second. Like, these are both present here.
Mm-hmm.
And he described it, the analogy that he gave was the two wings of an airplane. Like, in order for an airplane to fly, you need both wings.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for a church to thrive, you need both evangelism, sharing your faith with people who are lost, and discipleship, teaching new believers and longtime believers what it means to be obedient to the commands Jesus has given.
Yeah, and they both play into each other. So part of the discipleship process is teaching people and coaching how to be better evangelizers.
Right.
And then the evangelism process ends up with discipleship. So it's a big circle.
Correct.
You know, which is why we talk about sharing your story.
Yeah.
And everyone has a story. And the easy three-step story is I was, then God. Now I am, or now what kind of an idea.
Yeah.
And just, we have a form for that. And so I'd encourage everybody to write part of your story.
Yeah.
Because then you're more prepared, and everybody has one. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, what were we on? Matthew 28.
Matthew 28. So this is what Jesus says. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching, right? So it's the verb is make disciples.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the way that you do that is to go. So share your faith.
Yep.
And it's to teach, and it's to baptize and teach, right? So it's both evangelism, it's discipleship. Adam pointed out that when there is a thriving churches, they focus on what Jesus commanded here, but they may just say it a little bit differently. So the examples he gave, inspiring people to follow Jesus, know God, find freedom, discover purpose. The way we say it here at Corinth is to win people to Jesus, train them as disciples, and send them out to impact their world.
Yep.
So talk to us a little bit about that. Why do we say it like this at Corinth?
Why do we say it like this? It's very active. It makes sense in maybe a football southern culture, you know.
Yeah, right.
The winning isn't us, it's the kingdom of God.
Right.
God wins, you know.
Correct.
Like people, it really is, you know, to speak into some of that, there really is. I used to teach in CLC just if you're not reading your Bible on a consistent basis, like you're already losing a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
And so there is language that I think is helpful. Like this is a fight.
Yes.
There is, our enemy is not flesh and blood. It's the spiritual powers that are often unseen.
Right.
And there is a prize. You're going to win or lose, like everybody. And so there is some pretty drastic language there. Training is something that even the best do, you know. Uh-huh. Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes, everybody.
Yeah.
They always continue to train.
Yep.
You don't ever get to the end of discipleship.
Right.
And then we have to have the two wings of the plane, right? We're always remembering that we are to go.
Right.
We are to be sent.
Yes.
Because people need Jesus. So
yeah. One of the reasons that I love the language that we use with Win, Train, Send is it really redefines what it means to win as a church. Redefines, it defines it accurately, I should say, which is churches thrive when the people who end up in the care of a church are one to Jesus, right? Like that's what it's all about, winning people to Jesus, people coming to know him. And so it just, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what matters more than 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 booties and seats is, are people coming to know who Jesus is and surrender their lives to him? Mm-hmm. And man, I'm grateful that at Corinth, we see that on a regular basis. So Acts chapter 2 is the next passage flowing out of Jesus' command. His disciples took that seriously and preached a sermon. And so the sermon led to the beginning of the early church. That's the context for Acts chapter 2, actually. So Peter gets up, gives the first Christian sermon. The people are cut to the heart and respond with the question, what should we do? He replies in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then you get finished with this, where the last part of that is 3,000 people are baptized. And then verse 42, you have the church.
Yeah.
And so read for us. It's a little bit of a longer passage, but let's knock it out. 42 through 47 of chapter 2.
It's a summary statement of the early church and things that, you know, we want to copy. We won't copy exactly how they did it, but we want to copy the content of what they did. Here it is. All the believers devoted, that's the key word we'll talk about, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Yeah, love it. Love it. What observations jump out just right away? What do you love about this passage?
I mean, the obvious one is just that word devoted.
Right.
It doesn't say they showed up if they didn't have ball. It says they devoted, which means that other things were said no to because we already said yes to these four things.
Yeah.
So that jumps out. Also, just being saved daily. Like there's a consistency to the vibrancy in the life of what was happening.
Right.
And it also, I also notice just they're gathering in the temple courts and they're gathering in homes. So
yes,
big group, small group.
Yeah.
There's not one right way to gather.
Right.
It's like all the ways. Like gather as a huge group and
build
a building and make a place of worship, but also gather in small groups and pray together and do life together, all of it. So yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that. You pointed out keyword is devoted. That's where Adam focused in on. He gave us the Greek word for it, which is, see if I can say it right, proskarterio.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting because he was talking about this last week. He was just talking about what he was chewing on.
Yeah, sure.
And he brought up this word. And I immediately just noticed the prosk, which is mm-hmm. The beginning of the word worship, mm-hmm. proskuneo, right? Mm-hmm. So like there's this idea that devotion is maybe like a kissing cousin to worship, right? To be all yeah. in and to glorify God, there's some devotion that has to happen. Adam points out that it denotes steadfast, single-minded fidelity to a course of action. So like if I'm devoted, mm-hmm. I have, maybe for lack of a better phrase, I have tunnel vision on what I'm devoted to. Like this is my thing. I am all in on this thing. I am allegiant to this thing. I am devoted to this. And so mm-hmm. they were devoted. The list here in Acts chapter 2 says to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to meals, and to prayer. So let's talk about those things. For the apostles' teaching, what might it look like today for a thriving church to be devoted to the apostles' teaching?
Well, I mean, I think that's why we hold scripture, obviously, so high.
Yeah.
Like that's the apostles that wrote the scripture, either them or someone directly discipled by them, like a
right.
Mark from a Peter.
Yeah.
You know, we in our movement, we kind of hold to something like if the Bible speaks, we're going to speak strongly on that. If
yeah.
it's silent, we can't speak with all the authority, but we're going to gather
right.
what we can scripturally,
yeah.
you know? And so I think that's why we hold the Bible so high. We preach from the Bible.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we do topical series, but they're always scriptural as well.
Right.
And yeah. sometimes we're doing series. They're just straight through the books of the Bible.
Right.
That's why we're holding that high. That's why we yeah. encourage, you know, daily Bible reading and
yeah.
Bible through the year and all that stuff. Cause the,
yeah.
the apostles teaching. So,
yeah. And so kind of what my mind goes to is, you know, what does it look like for me today in 2025 to be devoted to the apostles teaching? I think what it looks like is prioritizing the right things. And that's really the kind of going to be the heart of a lot of where we end up talking. I imagine, but like, am I devoted more to studying the Bible than I am to playing Fortnite or watching a football game or, you know, anything like that. And that's not to create some sort of guilt or anything like that in some of the things
sure.
that we enjoy, but it is to say, you know, if all that I'm doing is showing up once a month for a sermon, mm-hmm. that's not devotion to the apostles' teaching.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
So I see where you're going now. Cause I went to, like what do we do as a church? You're going individual.
Sure. Well, either or, and both is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a good word.
So the next one is fellowship, right? So what does fellowship mean? Koinonia, another Greek word, right?
Yep.
What does that look like today? How do we navigate that as a church? What does it look like for an individual today in 2025, the year of our Lord?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the phrase Adam used in the sermon was this wasn't just spending time together. You know, it's shared life. It's
yeah.
bearing one another's burdens, meeting one another's needs, walking through faith side by side. I think of, you know, Proverbs 27, I think, iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
And how you may have some drinking buddies, but they're not sharpening you.
Yeah. No,
and
they're not.
The idea of fellowship is that you are, I preached a sermon a few years ago and just the two application points were just your group needs to support you
mm-hmm.
and to sharpen you.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need someone just to hold you up because life is really hard and you
yeah.
need to share those burdens. But a lot of times you need someone to sharpen you, to ask
right.
you, to ask you good questions, to remind yourself as a group of the deep truths of scripture, to read scripture, to pray together,
yeah.
all that sort of stuff. So
yeah.
that's what fellowship looks like.
Yeah.
But also, it's not only that. Like,
yeah.
fellowship is deep laughter and
yes.
sharing good food.
Absolutely.
And praying thankfully for that good food.
Right.
You know? So yeah.
Yeah.
It's all of
them. And so like individually, just the, it is important to be a part of a small group. And it is important to have that lunch with a good friend who loves Jesus. And it's important to play pickleball.
Yep.
And, you know, one of my favorite things from my time at Ozark was every Wednesday night and Sunday night at like 10 p.m., we would play glow in the dark ultimate frisbee. And it was awesome because it's a bunch of us just getting together and running around and exercising and laughing and throwing a frisbee and competing and having a good time. But without fail, no matter what, every single time the game was over, everybody who played would circle up and there would be an opportunity to say, hey, here's a prayer need that I have. Here's a prayer need that someone has. Here's what I'm going through.
Yep.
And then we would huddle up and we would spend time in prayer. And like, that's just, that is fellowship, to laugh, to have fun, to bear one another's burdens, to do all of those things together. And maybe it's too soon to talk about it, but I'm excited about some of the activity groups that are in the works.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to do some of those things. And it's like, we're going to be intentional beyond just getting together. We're going to lock shoulders and really share life together. So, sharing meals, they were devoted to sharing meals. When we meet,
we eat,
as I hear Don Hardison say regularly, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
this is part of it. Talk to me a little bit about what that might look like today.
Well, the way I understand it is that they were sharing full meals, and part of that is the Lord's Supper. So we, if we don't know, the reminder is when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, it was a meal,
right? Yeah.
And what we have taken is the bread and the juice part to remember his specific sacrifice.
Right.
Which I think is definitely appropriate as we 100%. Gather consistently to do that, to remind ourselves very frequently by sharing that meal.
Right.
Sounds weird to call it a meal, just a little cracker and some juice.
Yeah.
But it really is a meal when you define it as sustaining you, especially, you know, spiritually, as we remind ourselves of what really has given us life, and that's Jesus. I think it also means, though, sharing actual meals together.
Yeah.
So, once again, in your groups or the men's prayer breakfast or having a Friendsgiving or even on a personal level in your family, to share meals together is an important priority. Yeah. But when it comes to the church, it's specifically the Lord's Supper.
Yeah, right.
Breaking of bread and reminding why we do that.
Yeah.
So
one of the hardest parts, going way back now. One of the hardest parts about the month or two that we weren't meeting during COVID for me was not feeling like I had shared that meal with my brothers and sisters here at Corinth.
Yeah.
It just matters that much. Last one is prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like today?
Well, Adam wrote here literally the prayers, which is what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. My mind goes to, once again, a CLC lesson or something.
Yeah.
It's just, I often illustrate, I'll ask a student, name all the different ways you talk to your friends. And of course, it's in person or inside jokes or texting or social media, all of it. And just reminding them that that's also how you can pray to God.
Yeah.
So when it comes to our communal prayers, yes, we have to be devoted to individual prayer. But I think as a church, we need to be known as a praying church that prays together. So we pray in service.
Yeah.
We are led by a variety of folks. Yeah. And once again, the reminder, let's pray. That's an apostrophe. Let us pray.
Let us pray.
So we all do that together.
Yeah.
Once again, if we balance it in big group, small group, it's going to mean in the gathering, we're praying as a church. In smaller groups, we're all praying together in different ways and even trying out new forms and sometimes accompanying it with fasting and all that stuff. So what else would you add?
Yeah, I'll talk about this one for a second because I was convicted by this one a little over a year ago.
Okay.
Because a little over a year ago, I just asked myself the question, when was the last time that I just gathered with believers to just pray for, this isn't the right phrase, but the phrase makes sense to what I'm saying, to just gather together to pray for prayer's sake. You know, I don't mean just praying for prayer's sake, but like, when was the last time that I got together with a group of believers just to spend time and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer to that question was, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
And so I started to, I was convicted by that. And I started to ask questions about what does it look like to just prioritize this as a piece for, you know, for my life, for the ministry, that God has entrusted, to me here at Corinth with the teens. And so we changed some things up, and, on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, whenever we do, youth ministry, the students go to small groups for the, last 30 to 45 minutes of the time that we're there together. And I've got a team that just gathers up, and what we do is pray.
Yeah.
And it's just like, we know the rhythm is when they go to groups, we're going to sit down and we're going to surrender this to the Lord. And we're going to pray for our students. We're going to pray for this ministry, pray for this church, pray for each other. And then even beyond that, a year ago, I started a student leadership circle, and the whole commercial and plug for the student leadership team was not, hey, come early to church and give me your, you know, opinions on how youth ministry should happen and all that sort of stuff. It was, hey, I want to put together a team of students who just want to devote themselves to prayer. And so every Wednesday before youth group, they show up and we take the time and go around and all that sort of stuff. I'm getting to this. There's something there. I don't think it's a coincidence, that in the youth ministry side of things, we've seen a lot of really, really cool things happen over the last year. More lives being changed than in previous years, more growth happening than in previous years. Whenever we started to devote to prayer and to, again, I don't like the phrase, but I can't think of a better way to say it, to just pray for prayer's sake, mm-hmm. to just prioritize, we're going to get together and pray. Mm-hmm. And so this is a question I would ask, because I was convicted by it. You know, when was the last time that you just met with a group of believers and the only reason you were getting together was to spend a prolonged amount of time in prayer.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And we probably ought to do that. So
we should.
Yeah.
Not probably.
Yeah, right. Yeah. we ought to do that.
Yep.
So anyways, two main passages from yesterday, one main question from yesterday. It's not in Adam's script, but it's kind of the obvious question throughout. And he says it in a different way in the challenge that we'll get to, but it's just like, what are you going to be devoted to? Mm-hmm. Are you going to be devoted to the church, or to something else?
Right.
And, that's the question we all have to wrestle with. And so in the application, Adam went through what it looks like to be devoted is to be a competitor, not a spectator. So let's walk through this real quick. His first point about spectating and competing is that spectators, they just watch. But competitors engage. So what does this look like? And maybe ask the question, just who comes to mind for you whenever we're talking about competitors who engage?
I mean, I think what does it look like is right there in the title. Spectators are not really wanting to go further than just sitting and being, I don't know, I hesitate to assume people's motives, because there's plenty of people that do come that just need to be encouraged or lifted up because they've been through a season.
Right.
At some point, though, we have to stop just sitting in a chair mm-hmm. on Sunday morning. And I'm not saying that, like, there is worship going on. That's part of it. I get that. I want to be clear that I'm not accusing anyone of just worshiping. But, like,
right.
there's a deeper level of competitors engage. So, you know, it's showing up a few minutes earlier and having a few conversations. It's remembering somebody's name. It's mm-hmm. signing up for a serve team or a group, or stretching your faith in some way that you hadn't before.
Uh-huh.
So that's what
comes
to mind. I mean, I don't know.
I saw a funny video that I think our students are going to make one of these days. To contextualize it for us and post it, but it's a video of, and it's captioned, I'm having the hardest time connecting at church. And it's a video of the whole point is the person who said that as soon as the service is over on a Sunday morning, puts his head down and literally sprints through the crowd out the door to their car.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, no wonder you have a hard time connecting because you're just watching. Yeah, you are more gracious in your language than I am, because sometimes I can be a little bit more harsh when it comes to this stuff. Like, but it's just like, man, stop watching.
Yeah. Well, that's why involved, I said, you know, that's like, why I said, you never know what has just happened. So
right.
maybe somebody is going through a diagnosis or a new condition in a relationship
yes.
where it's, a family's been torn apart or something, and they need for a time. That's why I said specifically
right.
at some point.
Yeah.
Like there has to be a point where you do take that step
right.
from sitting, you know, and for some people, maybe it's you've been here for a month and that's the time. And maybe for some people the wound is deeper and you need 6 months.
Yeah.
But at some point Satan tries to isolate us.
Yeah.
And we have to fight that.
Yeah.
So
second one Adam talked through is spectators cheer, competitors contribute. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I mean, very similar, right? Somebody could be talking about all that we're doing and competitors contribute in it. So I think maybe it's things like Feed My Starving Children or Night to Shine or other big events. There's a difference in saying my church is so cool. We got to do this and saying
right.
I was there.
Yeah.
So just showing up,
you know,
and there's of course a million different ways to contribute. So sometimes that's upfront and you're seen, and other times it's like, you know, six teams of ladies that show up once a month and deep clean the entire early childhood area.
Right.
So shout out to them because they're awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one sees that.
Nope.
No one ever
Nobody
sees
does.
That. We hardly even see that as a staff.
Right.
I just know they've been here because it smells amazing.
Yeah.
And they spray that thieves.
Love
know, it. It smells so good.
Yeah.
Man.
I've got kind of a story, more recent story to go along with this because, and again, sometimes my language can come out a little bit harsh. So don't hear me saying things that I'm not saying. But we show baptism videos all of the time.
Yep.
And it's really easy to see one of those things and be a part of this church and be like, oh man, I'm clapping my hands. I'm so glad that I'm a part of a church
that
watches students come to know Jesus, adults come to know Jesus, and all that sort of stuff. That's one thing. There's another thing to jump in. And so recently we baptized a student named Isaac, has a really powerful testimony and story. And several people came up to me about that and just like, man, that was a really powerful story. But there's one who said, that was such a powerful story that now I feel like I need to jump in and be a part of it.
Mm.
And so it was more than just the cheering at looking at what God has done in this student's life.
Yeah.
It was
awesome.
Because of that, I want to be a part of it. And so he, you know, filled out the application for serving in Corinth Teens and went through the process that I will put anybody through. And it's a long one and a gruesome one. But he's sticking it out. And now he's sitting with high school boys every Wednesday night, you know? So, you know, that's what it means. It's like, if you're excited about it, then let's contribute to make more of it happen. So, number three, spectators observe, competitors train and grow. Talk to us a little bit about this one. What's the difference between observation and watching? And what does it mean to train and grow?
I mean, maybe it's just the difference between, like we talked about, teach them the commands or teach them to obey the commands. There's a lot of people that take a lot of sermon notes, but the real magic happens, right, when we do. And so,
yeah,
I think that is true. You know, these are all, as we said earlier, kissing cousins, right?
Like right.
They're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I think it comes down to this one in particular. Just makes me think of the whole devotion question again. Like, what are you devoted to? If you're devoted to the Lord and His church, His bride, then the priority for you, one of the priorities for you, is to be to train and to grow.
Yeah.
And
how about this? Let's make it just sermon specific.
Yeah.
So there's a difference in taking really good sermon notes every week and actually trying something related to the challenge.
Yeah.
Right? Like I can write down the words for the challenge, but like am I actually doing it?
Right.
Right. And yeah. It's not to say that if you don't do the specific challenge we give, you're not training. The point is, are you doing something?
Correct.
Beyond.
Yeah, that's a really good way to think about it. I like how you've contextualized that for us too. Fourth one, spectators expect entertainment, competitors embrace sacrifice. This one's a big one. Talk to me a little bit about it.
Yeah. I mean, we expect everywhere that the customer is right. We need to be served. It needs to be our style of whatever, our preference, our volume, our rhythms, you know, like we're conditioned to that in culture. And so I think that it can bleed into church culture.
Yeah.
And so I think for some people, they're looking for a certain style of church.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the perfect style, the right style, the whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But I think when we have the competitor that embraces sacrifice, we say, I can thrive in a lot of different places because I know it's not about me.
Yeah.
And so there's a story that comes to my mind from years ago. There's plenty of stories that happen at Corinth about this, and Adam's going to tell several of them Sunday.
Yeah,
so I'm not going to step on his toes.
Yeah.
But years ago, I was on a camp team for Ozark Christian College out in New Mexico at this church camp, El Porvenir.
Yeah.
And there was this guy, probably mid-60s, maybe 70s, and he came to church camp, and I don't know why they called this dance, what they called it, but they called it skanking.
Nice.
It was not inappropriate at all.
Yeah.
It was, they ran in a circle and would kick their legs out to the side, and it just became like they'd do it to the beat of the song, you know, and for whatever reason, it was a tradition here.
Right.
And this guy in his, you know, 60s or 70s is out there with 13 and 14-year-olds skanking.
Yeah.
And the story goes that someone asked him, like, why are you doing this? And he's like, well, I did it one time and made a connection with this, you know, with this young man.
Yeah.
And he came to know the Lord, and I will never not be here now because of that. So I think of that sort of attitude where it's sacrifice. You're up earlier, or you're staying up later, or you're doing things that aren't your preference.
Yeah. Because things that don't make sense. Like,
shoveling horse poop on your birthday.
Yeah. And that's a real story.
Chandler Key,
you know,
love him.
Yeah. And it even goes beyond it. Like the tithing and offering conversation comes in here as well. Like
exactly.
It's uncomfortable for sure, but that's part of the sacrifice. Like we're embracing that God's way is going to be the best way here. So, cool.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you want to step on toes and all that, you can really get into ball schedules and all that sort of stuff because we do need to sacrifice. And Sunday morning gathering with the community needs to take some priority.
Right.
So,
yep. Okay. Last one. Spectators celebrate wins, competitors fight for them. What does this look like?
That's fun language.
I like that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, it kind of reminds me of the spectators cheer, but competitors contribute, right? So spectators are going to clap for the baptism video. Competitors are going to then go do something about it.
Right.
Man, cool.
Absolutely. This is good stuff. We just want to be a church that is devoted. We want to be a thriving church.
Yeah.
And we're grateful to be a part of one that is and that has so many people who are on it. This is just a reminder and maybe even a challenge for some that maybe there's some additional things that you need to step up and do and be a part of and all that sort of stuff.
I think a challenge for all of us,
right?
Like, not just for some, just
for
all of
me,
us.
Know,
for me too.
For me,
yeah.
You know,
because like we said at the very top of this episode, vision and mission naturally drift. So we need this reminder.
Right.
And it's, you know, this is not a conversation that says a spectator is not saved, but a competitor is saved. This is not talking about salvation.
No.
This is talking about, you know, further discipleship and sanctification. So we all need it. So.
Yep. Bottom line, a devoted church builds a lasting future. And the challenge is just to answer that question.
Yeah.
Am I a competitor or am I a spectator? So good stuff today. Let's wrap up with a little bit of fun. March Madness is right around the corner.
Ooh.
So we're going to do a little...
Kansas is not ranked.
I know. That's
That is wild. Wild, man. Like, golly, Jayhawks, what are you doing?
Rock chalk.
I mean, we'll still root for them.
Yeah.
But
I won't. But yeah. The University of Texas has never been good at basketball.
What's happened to basketball? All these SEC teams are now good and at the top.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, let's talk about it.
So we're going to do March Morning Madness. And okay. I have one,
M-O-R-N-I-N-G or M-O-U?
M-O-R.
Okay.
It's called Morning Madness because I have 8 cereals that are set up in a bracket.
Oh, okay. This is fun.
And we're going to have to pick the best cereal. So round number one is Frosted Flakes versus Trix. And you've got to tell me which one wins in that battle.
This is just my opinion?
Yeah. I mean, we'll just go with you. I'll tell you if I disagree, but okay. What you say, we'll get the final word today.
I think Trix.
Okay, I already disagree with you, but and the main reason why is because they're for kids, and we're not kids anymore.
That's right.
No, I like Frosted Flakes better because you can eat them wet and dry.
That's good. Okay,
Frosted Flakes are good dry. But you said Trix, so Trix moves on. You know, there's a theory about how Trix changed their cereal to just look like colored sphericals, like colored spheres.
Okay,
but they used to be. Like the really fun colors and shapes and all that sort of stuff. There's a theory that says it actually is the fun theories and shapes. But the reason that you only see the lame spiracles is because you are not a kid anymore. So tricks really are for kids, and you see the magic whenever you're a kid.
That's funny. Okay.
All right. Next game of round one is Rice Krispies versus Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms all day.
Yeah, I agree. Rice Krispies are good with a little bit of sugar.
In the treats.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My mom makes homemade marshmallows in the KitchenAid, and nice. Rice Krispie treats with that is the best.
But yeah. There we go.
This game, Lucky Charms.
Snack, crackle, pop.
And you wait to eat the marshmallows to the end.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. All right. So Lucky Charms moves on. Next game, Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Frosted Mini Wheats.
You didn't have to say anything else after
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Amen. Absolutely. I'm with you. Cinnamon Toast Crunch wins that one. Frosted Mini Wheats are good.
They're good.
For the first 3 minutes.
Then they're soggy.
But then the frosting starts to disappear, and then you're just eating mini wheats, and you're like, yeah, where'd the frost go?
Yeah.
All right. Last game of round one, we're getting our fruit out. It's Fruit Loops versus Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, man. Fruity Pebbles has a long time been my favorite.
Okay. Yeah.
When it comes to fruity cereals.
Yeah.
So.
All right. That was what they had in the cafe at Ozark when I was a student.
Yeah.
I kid you not when I say I ate at least one bowl of Fruity Pebbles after dinner every night. I would go through the line and get my food.
Yep.
And dessert would always be at least a bowl of Fruity Pebbles almost every night. Yes. All right. So we're moving on now. We've got semifinals. Frosted Flakes versus Trix.
Yeah.
You said Trix. Trix versus Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms easily. Moves on to the finals. Yeah. Okay. Then we've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch versus Fruity Pebbles.
Ooh, that's a tough one. But I think nowadays I like Cinnamon Toast.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, yeah. Better. I think that's the right choice. Yes. Both are great. Yes. Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I think, is better. So now the finals are Lucky Charms versus Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Man, Cinnamon Toast Crunch has to take it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Cinnamon Toast Crunch is the best of the 8 that were in this bracket.
I do too. Yeah.
And honestly, it might be my favorite in general.
It's really good.
What other cereals? So these were the 8 that we put on for today.
So
other ones do you like and enjoy?
I actually do like Raisin Nut Bran.
Wow.
It's not a fun
spoken like cereal. Somebody who's almost 40.
Oh yeah. Hey, I got 3 months, 4 months.
3 months, yeah.
August, so.
There we go.
Cool.
What
do you like?
Man, I like them all.
Reese's Puffs.
I don't like Reese's Puffs.
Reese's Puffs are good.
They're not my favorite because I'm not a big peanut butter guy. But I'll say this. Yeah. I did happen to get my hands on some Kelsey mix.
You said that. Yeah, yeah.
And it's Lucky Charms, Reese's Puff, and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It doesn't sound like it would go well.
It doesn't sound good at all. It actually, it's not bad.
Really?
Like, it's actually pretty good.
Nice.
But, man, Cinnamon Toast Crunch is one of my favorites. But I also really like Cap'n Crunch berries. I also really like Honey Nut Cheerios.
Honey Nut's good.
Honey Nut Cheerios, very, very yummy. There's one more. But I can't think of it, so it must not be that good. But hey.
Yeah.
I hope this podcast has inspired you to become a competitor and to eat a bowl of cereal. So it's been a fun week. We will, of course, see you back next week for part number two of Blueprints in person for services Sunday and back in podcast form as per usual. We'll see you when we see you. Have a great week.